You have to be your biggest fan. And when things are really tough and they're really rough and nothing's working, but there's something inside of you that says, I just have to follow that. Because you don't know who you're going to meet, who you're going to meet, who you're going to meet.
Welcome to the latest episode of Better Days with myself, Georgie Crawford, and my friend, performance psychologist, and the very wise Jerry Hussey. We have such a good episode for you today. But first, a quick word from our season sponsor, the Health Insurance Authority. The start of the year is when a lot of people's policies renew, so it's a great opportunity to review your health insurance plan, because without realizing, you might be overpaying for health insurance, or you could be on a plan that no longer suits your health needs. The HIA is a government agency, completely independent, and they're not selling insurance. Their role is to help you make an informed choice. You can use their free health insurance comparison tool. I've checked it out myself. It's really easy to use. And there you can see what plans are out there and what might suit you better. All the info is on hia.ie. Jerry, thanks for coming back. How are you?
I'm great. Good to hear the feedback is good. So we'll crack on and see what else is out there for us.
Yeah, we're getting incredible feedback. Thank you so much. I was just saying to Jerry before I hit record, we were in the Alps. Everyone over there was listening to Better Days, giving me incredible feedback. So we're just really grateful. Thank you so much for tuning in. Okay, this is a really interesting one, Jerry. Hi, longtime listener, and felt compelled to get in touch with you after listening to Better Days this week. Maybe you both can help. I'm writing this because I feel like I can't say it out loud to people in my life. I'm in a long-term relationship. We have kids, and honestly, things are fine. We get on. We're good parents. There's no big issue or blow-up reason I can point to and say, this is why I feel like this. This is why it makes it harder. Lately, I keep wondering how much people stay in relationships because of their kids. And the idea of disrupting their lives feels overwhelming. But at the same time, I can't shake a feeling that sometimes I'm missing something, not in a dramatic way. My relationship with my husband feels comfortable and safe, but sometimes it feels flat. And then I start questioning things. Do all long-term relationships end up like this after a few years? Does the spark change or does it disappear? I don't want to blow up a good life chasing some idea of an electric relationship that might not even be real. But I also don't want to stay just because it feels easier. And I must admit that sometimes I find myself thinking about my ex-boyfriend. What I can't work out is whether this is normal or whether my gut is telling me something I don't want to hear. Any advice would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, so good one, Georgie. Yeah, a good one to kick off with. And I think there's, as always, there's a few levels to this one. So, you know, the first thing that stuck out to me, I wrote it down here. She said, my life is fine. Fine is one of the words I absolutely detest. It goes back to our lukewarm idea. Mm. Imagine if your headstone read, my life was fine. Is that what we want? Now, some people, fine is good. When I'm in a conversation with somebody and they say, I say, watching that, and they say, I think it's fine. I say, I'm not accepting that answer. It has to be more than that. It has to be something else. So language is very important, and the language we subconsciously use is very important. Mm-hmm. We're using that word, it's fine, that's okay. And for some people, fine is perfect. For some people, it means. So firstly, you know, in this story, we all kind of know the answer. It's like everything else. I always say most people, so whether she's consciously or unconsciously wrote this story, we know what the answer is. But here's the thing. So firstly, you know, I'm not an expert on marriage. I'm married to Miriam, and we have our ups and downs and ins and outs, just like every relationship. So what do I know about marriage? What do I know about love? It's two people who are changing all the times with different ideas, different aspirations. And the challenge is to try change together or change in the same direction, which is not easy. So am I the same guy that married Miriam? Absolutely not. Is she? She's radically different than the girl I married. Radically different. And that alone creates a challenge. I think sometimes we think that we fall in love with someone and then it's automatic after that. Mm. I think we forget that a marriage or love is work. It's the most important work we'll ever do. And the work is, I think I've mentioned on a podcast with you before, I have a client who once a month sits down, has a glass of wine with his wife and they relax and they ask themselves about their marriage. And some of the questions he asks her is, what did you fall in love with me in the beginning? How am I still doing on those things? On the day you married me, what did you hope I'd be as a husband? And how am I doing on those? I think open, honest relationships are really important. I think the minute a relationship begins to seem flat or fine, there's a conversation that has to be happened. I think not communicating is the biggest barrier. So the first thing is relationships are work. Relationships need constant, regular work. People grow in different directions and you add kids in, people become different people. And if you're not trying to constructively and actively work on that and understand each other and understand where you're at and what you need and what you need from the relationship now, what you expect from the relationship. Sometimes people have expectations from a relationship, but those expectations have never been communicated, never been agreed. And there's a lovely expression that says, we're never frustrated by people. We're frustrated when people don't meet our expectations.
Wow.
So the first step is to be honest and sit with her husband and say, right now, I would describe our relationship as fine. How do you, what does that feel like when you hear that? And that's the first step. It's an open, honest conversation where two people bring themselves to it openly with one agenda. Staying in this lukewarm, mediocre is not enough. So that doesn't mean you have to change relationship. It might mean something in the relationship has to change. But the honesty, transparency, open communication, this is where I'm at right now. And the earlier and quicker you do that is the less it builds. So that's my first step, Georgie. Now, you're also speaking to a guy who was in a 12-year relationship, was engaged and left that relationship. So this isn't in some ways unfamiliar territory to me.
That's almost a lifetime or a marriage.
When I met that girl, her sister was 5. And when we broke up, she was 17. It's a lifetime. It's a lifetime. So when it comes to moving out of a relationship, particularly with someone who is an incredible human being, who's honest, who is decent, you know, everybody says, you know, why did you break up? What was wrong? Did you have a row? No. I will still say that that particular person was probably one of the nicest, kindest human beings that I've ever met. And I'm saying that, and Miriam knows that. But it just wasn't it. It wasn't right. And the symbol, the signs were there. It took us 11 years to get engaged. We were trying to plan a wedding and we couldn't book a venue and none of us were really rushing into it. But
you could have easily stayed, right?
Well, of course, the easiest thing was to stay. And the ego wants comfort. And sometimes you say, well, if I don't stay, then I've all this pain. And leaving a relationship, you know, it's the hardest thing I've ever done. It has a massive impact and there is collateral damage and that's the reality of it. Ultimately, the question you have to ask is, why am I doing this? Because sometimes it's just that we haven't had the open conversations or I'm running away from something. Sometimes if a partner really challenges you, it's easy to run away from it. Sometimes you don't even know what you want. So firstly is sit with yourself. Ask about how you're bringing yourself to the relationship, because sometimes we're the problem in the relationship. Sometimes we have an expectation from the relationship that's not real, that's delusional, that's Hollywood. Love is an amazing thing, but it's real. It's not all glamour and it's not all, everyone knows that. But fundamentally, if you're in that relationship and you've had those open, honest conversations and you reviewed what are my expectations? Have we grown together? And fundamentally, it comes down to the idea, short-term pain is that the relationship ends. The long-term pain is that we spend a life of lukewarm. We spend a life of just, we get married not because of love, because of maybe duty or something else. Now, of course, then you add children into this and you add a house and you add all the other stuff. So there's four at least different levels of a relationship. So you take love. What is love? Love is a number of things. Firstly, it's lust. And lust is really important. Love is that excitement. It's that passion. Then it's attraction. So then you get attracted to what the person is and what they can, you know, it's an attraction to the bigger life. Then it's attachment. And attachment is, it's not even about ourselves anymore. It's not, he's not just my partner. He's the father of my children. And it's everything. It's attachment to the everything. So you have to go through all of those. And ultimately, you have to ask, what do I want in life? Because sometimes people actually don't know what they want in life. And they're trying to scratch an itch and they don't even know what the itch is. And they think, well, if I change my car, that'll give me. Or like some people are just bored in life. So they'll change a car or they're bored. They'll do a renovation in the house. It's not that they want to. They're just looking for a scratch. So the issue is never the issue. So sometimes the issue is your car is broken down. It has to be. Sometimes it's just boredom. Or it's comparison. So the first question I would ask this person is, what in you is questioning this relationship? What is actually the need you have? Because the danger is you could change your relationship and you still feel the same. Suddenly you buy the new car, it's great for a week, and after 2 weeks it's like, I don't feel any different.
Yeah.
You buy the new house. So sometimes we think at a surface level, if we change something physical, I'll feel different. But if the need is more spiritual or emotional or to do with something in me, I can change all the things around me that I want, but I'm going to still feel the same. So the question is the issue that needs to be addressed in the relationship or in you? Is it in you? What are you looking for? What need do you have that's not being met in this relationship? How important is that need? Because sometimes we look to our partners to meet every need we have, to stimulate us and excite us. And first is an open, honest conversation with the partner. The second step is asking, why am I even asking this question? That question is bubbling up for a reason. Get to the root level. What is the need in me that's not being met at the moment? And what's the real cause of that need? And ultimately, another nice question is there a pattern of change in my life? Do I get bored easily? So it's really looking deep inward and asking what in me is asking to be addressed.
I love that, Jerry, because I think sometimes we can, and I'm sure loads of people can relate to this, is sometimes you feel like you're on your own island in your own marriage from time to time. And I'm sure that's completely normal. Sometimes we forget to have the important conversation. So say for this woman who's now thinking about her ex, maybe she is thinking about something that her ex gave her. Maybe it's attention. Maybe it was the lust. Maybe it was the lifestyle. And she's not getting that from her current relationship, which is why she's going back thinking about her ex. But actually a simple conversation with her husband, if he is aware that that's what she needs, then maybe he can give that to her.
100%. And also, she can give it to herself. So the Pope once said about the younger generation, he said, you're all saying you're bored. Just ask this. Are you bored or are you boring? Why do you need to be stimulated? Now, I don't always, probably once every 10 years, I'll quote a Pope, but I thought that was good. So somebody's, I'm bored in this relationship. Well, just be careful you're not the boring. So that's what I'm saying. Are you bringing excitement? Are you bringing honesty? Are you bringing passion? Because sometimes we think, well, it's up to the world to make me feel this. We can generate every emotion we want. So, you know, one is to identify the need. I need to have more fun. I need you to be this. And that is a real legitimate question. I need you to turn up a little bit more. I need you to, like, I need you to be not so serious. Like when Miriam married me, she married someone that was safe, secure, dependable, and someone who's a deep thinker. But she didn't marry someone that just goes off the pub and has good fun. And so she gave up something. So I know that when I'm left to my own devices, I love to just sit in the corner, be a recluse and contemplate the big things in life. Well, I'm not always the most joyful to be around. So I need to change how I come up, and I need to plan dates with Miriam, and I need to get out of my bloody comfort zone and do things, because fun and laughter are so important to Miriam. So that's one side of it. But then she has to ask that deeper question. Is there a need in her that she has somehow created a story that it's up to someone else to have that need met? And then why did you leave the ex in the first place? Don't forget that. It couldn't have been all rosy. And if he was this amazing, well, why did you leave? So what we happen sometimes is you have a guy that's exciting and stimulating and he's fantastic, but he's useless with money. He's never turns up. You never know where he is. And then you meet someone and they're reliable and they're honest and they're dependable, and you realize this is far better. So just be careful. Memory makes liars of us all. The old days were always so much better. Why did you leave him in the first place? Don't forget that.
A short break to mention our sponsor, the Health Insurance Authority. If you're anything like me, you might be renewing your health insurance policy year after year without really thinking about it. Well, it's time to take your plan and your health into your own hands. If you don't shop around, there's a good chance you're either paying more than you need to, or you could be missing out on benefits that could really support your health right now. The Health Insurance Authority offers a free tool that makes health insurance comparisons, covering every plan on the market. Head over to hia.ie where you can explore your options or get support by phone or email. Jerry, I'll never forget, I was interviewing somebody and she said that she's in a roommate phase with her husband. So I think we can all relate to those of us who have become parents, where your kids just completely take over and you become almost like co-workers and roommates and sometimes flatmates because you're in different rooms. But you know, I never forget, I heard Brené Brown say something. If we spend all day building a wall, we can't get into bed together and expect the wall not to still be there. So I think if we go to battle during the day, how can we expect to come together at night in an intimate way?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's a beautiful analogy of the wall. And that's what happens to us, particularly, you know, if we lose confidence in ourselves, or we're going through a phase where we don't feel beautiful, we don't feel attractive, we don't feel. So that's one wall. And then the other wall can be lots of other stuff. The other wall can be a difference of opinion. The other wall can be, I know loads of people that get into bed and they don't even know what to say, just fall asleep. And like, that's okay. When you said about being, you know, just being roommates, I was saying, well, that's lucky, because me and Miriam were two kids not sleeping. We didn't even share the same bed for a year or two. That's the way it was. And I used to say to Evan, I'm in a different bed every night. Sometimes that's okay, but it's the connection. It has to be more than physical. It has to be, is this my greatest friend? When you've had a really tough day, is this the first person you turn to? Is this someone you can forgive easily? And I think the measure of how much you love someone is how quickly you do two things. One is forgive them, and B, admit you were wrong. And what I've known is that at times I don't like to admit I'm wrong. Sometimes I like to do things my way. But when Miriam challenges me, I hear it and I want to quickly say, I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Because she means too much. And I think at times you have to be so aware of if there's a wall building, you have to be so aware of, is there a silence creeping in? How many nights on the TV, how many nights are you going to sit on the couch, both you watching television, both you scroll on the phone and saying nothing to each other? Because everything becomes a habit. And I think you have to be careful of the habits. And sometimes people just get bored. And while you were busy scrolling your phone, not looking at each other, you missed something. You missed something that needed to be said. You missed that they were sad. Or you might have just missed that your relationship is going down the tube. But you're busy distracted. So you have to be consciously attentive to when you're together. What do you feel? Even when there is silence, are you snuggled in together? Is there a feeling of joy and love? Or is there a feeling of apathy? Silence is never empty. Silence is filled with emotion. So even in those emotions where you're sitting on the couch in the evening, what's the silence filled with?
Yeah. Are you good with checking in with Miriam on an emotional level?
I think I'm getting better. And I think it's what I'm really understanding is that me and Miriam are totally different and are particularly in a stress. So in a stress environment, I'm fight or flight kind of. So I'll step up and say, right, I'll step back, Miriam. I'll deal with this. I'll get it done. Sometimes that means I'm disempowering her. Sometimes that, and eventually if I do that enough times, then I'll be angry and say, why am I doing it? Why am I solving all the problems around here? Because you won't let anyone else. So one is to be emotionally aware of yourself and then to realize that certain things that I would say or certain things that happen don't impact me at all, but they do her. So she's much softer than I am. She's more gentle. She processes and internalizes things far more deeper. Like even if it was a criticism on Instagram, she'd really take that to heart. I wouldn't bat an eyelid at it. That's just the way it is. So I think you have to understand we're all vulnerable in different ways. And she would know me well enough to know when I go very quiet, she just knows when I'm in a bad place, but I'll never tell her. And we have a very simple expression where she would say to me at times, where are your lights at today? And if I say 8 or 9, fine. If I say 3 or 4, she knows he's not having a good day. He's probably taken on something because I deeply think about my clients. I deeply think about my work. Maybe I've had an experience with a client that's in a really tough place. Mm-hmm. And instead of jumping in to try fix me or motivate, she'll know, just give him some time and space. So it's really being emotionally aware of each other. It's not just the formal check-ins, but it's observing. Observing what you see in their eyes. Observing when to speak, when not to speak. There's times I come home and I have a million new ideas, but I just know the minute I walk in, this isn't the time for that. So it's been really emotionally aware. Mm-hmm. Knowing them at that level. What are they able for today? What are they not able for today? Is this the right time to have this conversation? What's really going on here? And sometimes, you know, for me, you know, Miriam might be saying something, I'd say, you know, it's that story again. So Miriam has a certain story. I'm not good enough at times. And I'd say, if you just listen to what you're after saying, the scared Miriam is after coming out there. So I'm not going to take offense to what you said. I'm not going to take it to heart because I know you're just scared now. And she knows me at times because she will say, I know you're just overwhelmed by your work, or I know you deeply care about everybody you work with. And in some ways that's what makes me. So it's really asking, how well do you know your partner? Do you notice the cues? Do you observe? And then when you observe what their needs are, can you regulate your own needs? So someone said once, you know, about balance. There's no balance. So some days, Miriam will be the 80% because I've only 20. And then some other days, I'll be the 80 because Miriam is only 20. So we're highly aware of each other. We're aware of each other's energy. We're aware of each other's emotions. We're aware of each other's needs. And on the days that I know that she knows that I have nothing to give, she steps in with courage and strength, and she steps in and says, it'll be okay. And I don't need to say this now, and I don't need to ask you this. And then on other days, I'll know, I'll step in here now. So we check in regularly, but we're highly aware of each other. We know what we look like on a good day. The minute I walk into the kitchen in the morning, she knows. The minute I see her when I come home, I know. And then I have to respond to that. So it's not about me and my agenda. So I think love is putting the other person first. Of course, you have to mind yourself. But it's how many times, for any man listening to this, how many times this week did you ask yourself, what does my wife need most this week? What's the emotion I see building in her? What's the root cause of that? And if I was to really support and help her, what would that look like? So love is when you see the other person first and you see their needs. Now, I'm not saying you abandon yourself, but it's certainly in moments, my new idea, my excitement is not for now, mm-hmm. because there's a greater need in the room. I think that's emotional awareness.
I love that, the communication piece. And just going back to what you said at the start, that we're changing and evolving together as couples out there. And I think, you know, when I started exercising, it was such a big deal for me. And I remember saying to Jamie, like, don't slag me ever. I was like, I need you to be my biggest supporter. I need you to be my accountability partner. I've put my heart out there and I've said, this is who I want to become and I need you to support me, and not say, that's not who you used to be. That's not who you are. And he put every ounce of himself into supporting me, and I'll never forget that, because like Miriam, I am a completely different person to who Jamie married. I'm so grateful that he has evolved with me in that way. But I think sometimes we can say something and we don't even realize that we're chipping away at someone's self-esteem or self-worth.
That's exactly it. Going back to the first question we're asked about, what should I do in the relationship? The first thing this listener has to do is do the work, all the work that we've spoken about. So ask yourself, how well do I know my partner? Do you know what trauma they carry? Do you know their subconscious programs? Do you know how they truly feel about life? If you said to them, I think our relationship is only fine, most people say, I'd be afraid of that because they'd be upset. What if your partner said, it's not even fine? Are you ready for that conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to ask each other, what about the expectations? What expectations may we have of each other that's simply never been agreed? What is the pain that your partner's holding that you have not explored? What is the need they have that you're not addressing? So before you even consider leaving a relationship, there's a huge amount of work to be done. It's conversations, it's check-ins, and it's a sustained commitment that we're going to turn up differently. We're going to turn up more honest, more open. We're not going to hide anything. We're not going to suppress. We're going to understand. No matter how long you're married, because I'm 10 years married, but I'd say, how long are you married to this girl? When did she change last? And sometimes someone says, well, what do you mean? So have you had that conversation? What is the biggest thing that have happened in each other's lives in the last 6 months? Have you spoke about it? What's the biggest fear that each of you hold? Leaving a relationship is the most difficult thing you will ever do. If it has to be done, it very well might be the right thing. But you've given yourself the opportunity and clarity and the promise that I'm going to do all this work. And if we do all of this work together and we really reconnect and we really put it all out there and it's still not there and it's still not a spark, well, that's something. And I would say, forget the ex. You left him for a bloody reason. Leopards don't change their spots. Don't forget why you left him, and don't forget why you married this guy. Diamonds sometimes fall on the ground and they sometimes get covered in dust. But a diamond covered in dust is still a diamond.
Oh, Jerry.
So that's my belief. It's work. And you want, what's the secret? I asked Bruce Lipton when he was in my house, what's the secret to a long, happy relationship? He said, regular work, loads of fun, and tons of forgiveness.
Dawning.
So forget the Hollywood idea. It's work, it's love, it's forgiveness, it's open and honest communication.
Love it. Oh, Jerry, thank you so much for that. There's so much gold in that. We started with the Pope. I thought nothing could be the Pope's quote, but I love the diamond one. Jerry, thank you so much for that.
My
today.
Pleasure.
Thank you so much to everyone for tuning in. We'll be back in a couple of days. And thank you so much to that lady for writing in. A huge thank you for tuning in today. Thanks again to the HIA for all the support. And to Jerry, you know, I absolutely love when Jerry drops a quote. Are you bored or are you boring? Wow, something we can all ask ourselves going forward. Listen, thank you so much for tuning in. We'd appreciate if you could drop this episode into your WhatsApp groups without offending anyone. We'd really appreciate it. And we hope to see you on Thursday. Chat to you then.
Something inside of you that says, I just have to follow that, because you don't know who you're going to know.